This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Yo, what's up? And welcome to the Hashtag Lakers podcast presented by betonline.ag. I'm your host, Yoel Agazo. I'm joined by my co-host, John Webb and McKay Westbrook. And today, as you can see, we got a very special guest on the show, the newest Laker on the 15-man roster, just signed today for a full two-year NBA contract with the purple and gold. Yeah, Austin Reaves, man. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Hey, man. Austin, dude, huge congratulations to you, honestly, to you, your family, your agents, everyone who's really helped you make this happen, man. How are you feeling tonight?
Oh, it's crazy. Like you said, I mean, I got to thank everybody as well. I mean, family, agents, really anybody that's had a hand in this. But I mean, it's one of those things that when you get the news, like everything kind of stops, your mind starts spinning a little bit, but it's all joy. I mean, this is what I've wanted to do for a really long time. And I mean, me being me, man, coming from the place that I come, like not many people get this opportunity. So it's really just a lot of joy.
Yeah, Austin, again, congratulations and welcome to the Purple and Gold. I mean, I could feel your energy and the positivity like vibing from you, man. It shows as we're talking now, and it was really apparent during, you know, all summer league. Maybe coming in, Lakers fans didn't know of you, but after that game winner versus Phoenix in Vegas, they know you. You know, how does it feel being part of such a storied franchise, you know, out competing several potential players out of that 14th roster spot?
I mean, it's just a blessing. I mean, and like you said, it's the Lakers. You grow up, I mean, the Lakers and I mean, the Celtics are really the two organizations that stand out. And I remember coming here during the pre-draft process. And as soon as I walked on the court, it had a different feeling. So, all the stuff that you hear about, I mean, the organization and how they handle themselves around here is true. And you can really feel a different type of vibe around the organization. And like I said, I'm just blessed to be here and hopefully I can help move forward.
Yeah. And we're absolutely to have you as part of the Purple and Gold family. Welcome. Just how does it feel to come onto this roster with so many current, you know, Hall of Famers or potential Hall of Famers. I would imagine that you've watched growing up. How does that feel?
Hey, like you said, I mean, all these guys are guys that I watched growing up. I mean, and like you said, I mean, six Hall of Famers, I mean, if not more, I mean, you can make arguments for others as well. I mean, and the basketball knowledge that's on the team is ridiculous. I mean, there's been, I mean, already things in little shoot arounds or the little mini camp thing that we had that those guys see that not normal people see, not normal basketball players see. So really just coming in and learning from, I mean, some of the greatest players that's ever played the game is going to be, I mean, special. I mean, because me thinking that I'm a high IQ guy and these guys are just way, I mean, they played the game for so long. They see it, I mean, way above them, my eyes. So it's going to be a blessing. And I just want to be like a sponge and absorb everything.
Yeah, man, that's awesome, man. Look, you mentioned the mini cap. I was going to ask you about that. Like, how was that for you? I mean, that's kind of a one of a kind experience, right? I mean, like, what were your thoughts coming out of that? I assume that you just got back from that and everything and getting ready, ramped up for media day and training camp. So how was that, man? And like, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about that.
Oh, no, it was a great experience. Sadly, well, my best friend got married back home this weekend and I wasn't able to. This was something that, I mean, I told him and he was like, it's not even a question. I won't even let you come home. You're going to Vegas and being a part of something like that. And it was something that, I mean, really just so everybody can really start to click and everybody can, I mean, get to know each other on, I mean, just really a personality standpoint. Cause I mean, if you don't have that connection off the court as well as on the court, then a lot of things don't go the way that you want them to go. So really just this weekend, it was all about really just getting to know one another. And I mean, really just expanding the relationships.
Yeah, so you had like you guys played some basketball because we saw some like high school kids filming. I don't know if you saw those, but they're like behind the bleachers.
Yeah. No, I didn't see it. I heard someone talking about it, but that's what people are gonna do when they know the, I mean, the LeBrons and Carmelos and people like that are coming to town. They're gonna try to type of little footage they can. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because we're just speculating this last week about the whole mini camp and whether or not there would be on-court activities, you know, if you were actually gonna go out there and get to play together. And then we saw that leaked footage and then we're like, oh yeah, okay, cool. So just from your time in that mini camp and what you guys have had together so far, in terms of chemistry and just, I guess, I don't know, the overall ability of the team with the pieces that you guys have, like we've talked in the past about the need to have some, 3-point threats to maintain our defensive identity in there, along with some playmakers when LeBron isn't on the floor. How do you feel the team is already beginning to mesh and come together?
I mean, great. I mean, these guys, I mean, have known each other for a long time, and then me being a young guy stepping in, I mean, that, like I spoke on earlier, is really the IQ stuff that stands out to me. I feel like we're going to really IQ people to death. The attention to detail that all the guys have towards the game is special and is something that I feel like a lot of teams might not bring to the table or have as much of. I mean, you could argue that, I mean, these guys have some of the highest IQs that's ever played the game. So that's really was the main thing that stood out to me, just everybody's IQ running together too. I mean, it's not just one person seeing something and that's it. I mean, everybody speaks on what they see, and really just having all those run together, I mean, could create special things.
Hey, Austin. So I was actually just thinking, like, watching you in the summer league, I mean, you mentioned IQ. I feel like you're a high IQ guy. really, when I was watching you, your capacity to be where the action is on the play is almost like habitual, I would say. It shows in your brand of basketball. I'd also say you're a two-way player.
That not a lot of appreciate that. Not a lot of people would say that.
It's instinctual for you, I think. You know, for you, what came first? Was it defense? Was it offense? Like, where do you feel like you need to improve on that end?
I mean, first of all, growing up, I played point guard my whole life. My brother, which I mentioned, plays in Germany, which is 2 years older than me. He was our scorer, so I did what I had to do, and I got him the ball on time, on target, so he could score. And then defense really came when I went to college. My first college coach, Greg Marshall, was, I mean, defense. And if you didn't play defense, you weren't going to see the court. So really had to buy into things like that. But just being able to do both is really key. I mean, because there's only a couple guys that they can go out and just be so good offensively that they don't have to go play defense. So really just, I mean, competing on both ends. And like you said, just having a knack for where the action's going, what the teams are wanting to do, and really just competing and playing as hard as possible is really the main thing.
Man, I love that, man. I love that about your game. I know you were a Kobe fan, right? You had that interview with Mike Trudell, and it was brought to our attention that your mom was also a Kobe fan, right?
Grandma was a diehard.
Grandma. Okay. Yep. So you know, what made you a Kobe fan, and what kind of, you know, obviously this is a Lakers podcast, right? So like, what made you be a Kobe fan, and sort of what part of his game or what part of him do you try to take in your own game?
I think it's really the mentality, the way that he approached the game. I mean, he was going to do literally whatever it took to win. It didn't matter if it was scoring, playing defense, assisting, like, it didn't matter. Like, he was going to do what he thought could help the team win. So really just that, just trying to be a winner. I mean, myself growing up, that's all I tried to do. I wasn't never really been big into stats. I mean, and I feel like that's what everybody looks at now. They go straight to stats, and if you don't blow up the stat sheet, then you don't have a good game. But there's a lot more to it, and the basketball minds know that. So really just doing all those little things during games to help your team be successful, like Kobe did, diving on the floor for loose balls and stuff like that. It comes to light to people that know basketball. They might not be the pretty stuff, but really just competing 110% all the time.
Yeah, and you know, that work ethic is a really big part of Lakers culture. You know, that Mamba mentality. And we've seen it in the past from players like Alex Caruso, who came up from the G League, was on a two-way contract similar to you. And then they were finally given that position on the Lakers roster. So with that being said, do you think we'll see a white Mamba 2.0?
Nah, boy, I ain't even going to say all that. I'm going to just be myself. And like I said, just do whatever it takes to win. Do the unpretty things that not a lot of people like to do. Really just be a knack for being a competitor.
So let's take a break from these basketball questions. We're going to have we asked our followers on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, you know, if they have any questions for you, right? So here's one about so it's a lighter question. I don't know how long, like how often you've stayed in LA, but have you tried In-N-Out yet?
I've had it before. I haven't had it out here yet, but I've tried it before.
What'd you think, man?
It's solid. I don't know if it lives up to the hype that everybody you drive by In-N-Out ever long. I don't know if it's really worth the wait like that, but it's good.
Yeah, I mean, cause so you're coming from Arkansas, right? And so you get like really beefy burgers, right? I mean, so you get the real stuff. And like that's the thing I want to ask you, because I'm over here in Chicago. And I went to law school in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And they had like, that's like Dairy County over there. They have, you know, they're all about cows and cheese and everything. So like when I went to Wisconsin, I was like, oh my gosh, dude, like these burgers are legit. And so whenever I go to like, to, you know, middle America somewhere, I want to try a burger out because, you know, they're better than, you know, these food chains that are around.
No, it's hard for me to eat like, you know, burgers and steaks and stuff at restaurants, because like my mom and my dad can cook, I mean, burgers and steaks just as good as, I mean, places that I'm going, just because of where I'm from.
You're a foodie, a big old foodie.
For sure.
So I was actually thinking a little bit, we have another question here from, I don't know if you've seen him on Twitter, but the pettiest Laker fan, and he's just asking, you know, who is your favorite point guard in the NBA right now and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say Chris Paul, just because I'm an IQ guy, super competitor, and someone that maybe doesn't have all the intangibles, not, you know, have the height, you know, have like the length and stuff like that, but just figures out a way to get it done. I mean, and you could argue to be, I mean, one of the best point guards to ever play the game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things I noticed with your game in Oklahoma was how you used the pick and roll to either shoot from deep, you know, you put the ball on the court for a drive or dish to a teammate, you know. Out of all those, what's the most underrated part of your game?
I would say getting others involved. Like I said earlier, I grew up being a point guard, and that's what I enjoyed to do. But there were situations in college and when I got to my junior, senior year of high school that I had to score because it was the way that we was going to win basketball games. But really just come off pick and rolls and getting others involved is something that I really enjoy doing and feel like I do it at a really good level.
Man, you're in good company. We got three of the top 15 all time in assists in NBA right now.
I already know.
Yeah, so that was actually one of the main things that I kind of noticed as I watched you play. You've got great vision. And your playmaking ability is way up there. So I think you'll do great around these players like Russell Westbrook, Rajon Rondo, LeBron. So along with that, we've got a follower named David Portillo that asks, what current NBA player do you think you pattern your game after?
I would say, like, I'm not saying the man game is like just like this person, but like someone like Joe Ingles can shoot, put it on the floor, make plays for others. But like I was talking about earlier, he does all the little things that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. If it's like a check down on a big when our big goes and tries to block a shot and don't get it and it comes off the weak side. Just little things like that, and just being a gamer, I feel like he's one of the most underrated guys in the league just because of all the little things that he does.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Joe Ingles doesn't look really like a basketball player. So, I mean, I think you guys might differ in that way a little bit.
And people say that I don't look like I'm a basketball player. So there's a big similarity.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks like some regular guy off the streets, but then he can – come and just hit threes in your face all day. You know, I would say that you definitely look more like a basketball player than he does. But I would absolutely love to see that kind of play on the Lakers. Joe is an excellent competitor and contributor for the Utah Jazz. So to see some of that over here in Lakerland would definitely get me excited.
For sure. No, he's one of those players that you want to have on your team. Just, I mean, with the IQ and the way that he plays.
So we've got a question actually from Mr. Brian Reeves from Newark, Arkansas. I don't know if you know him.
Kind of, so somewhat.
Yeah, man. I've heard
the name before.
Oh yeah, yeah. So your dad hit us up on Instagram, and so I said, "Hey, do you have a question for your son?" And so he does. It took the whole day today but he sent it. So he said, "Do you think Austin? Do you think your high school team would have beat your dad's high school team?"
Yeah, so, it's not even a question. He said his team, because he brings this up all the time. My 10th grade year, yes, we'd have beat him. And he's not ever going to convince me otherwise.
He was saying that.
I will say that they were good, though. I'll give him credit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not going to say we're going to lose. We didn't lose much.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that when you were a freshman, you even played with against Malik Monk, right? And so beat him twice. That same year. So, I mean, walking into the locker room, I guess you'll have some bragging rights, right?
We've already talked about it a couple of times. I've already brought it up a couple of times. But then he turned around and beat me in the NCAA tournament in the second round. So he got, I don't know if I'd say the bigger one, but he got me once.
Yeah.
Now you're on the same team in purple and gold. Crazy.
It's insane.
So we got one last question from actually it's from Lana V and a Twitter user by Super Saiyan Tai 95. Their questions are, you know, what are your goals this season? And what ways do you hope to sort of bring, you know, to impact the team? What are those goals that you have for, you know, this upcoming season?
First of all, I think the main goal is just to get better throughout the whole year. And then other than that, really just help the team, I mean, in any way possible. If it's, I mean, making shots, making plays, just really doing whatever it takes to help the team be successful. Because like I've touched on multiple times, I want to win basketball games. That's the main goal. Because I personally think that, I mean, if you're winning games, everybody looks good. I mean, one person might get a little more shine or whatever, but winning basketball games, everybody on the team looks good. So really just, I mean, winning basketball games and doing whatever I could do to help our team be successful.
And that's awesome, man.
Hey, yeah, I mean, we love winning over here in Los Angeles. And so, you know, with that being said, you're coming onto a team that's got a ton of seasoned veterans, championship experience, and a lot of people think the Lakers are the favorites this year. So how does that feel to maybe win a ring in your first year?
It's crazy, y'all. Everybody that I talk to back home or college teammates that I've talked to, that's the first thing they say is like, you got a chance to win a ring. I mean, playing in the NBA is one thing, but winning a ring in the NBA is two totally different things. I mean, one's really out there and then the other one's like really, really out there. But I mean, just having the opportunity, I mean, just going through a year with the guys that we got on our team is going to be special. And it's going to be a full year of me being a sponge and just taking everything in and really just trying to get better.
Hey, Austin, I got one more for you. You know, I love that story of you and your grandma and the Mamba mentality text she sends you. I think that's what I'm going to call it. With her hearing the news of you getting the 14th roster spot, what does that text read?
Man, just, it was too much. It was just, I mean, just expressing, I mean, her feelings, her excitement for me. I mean, she's been a Laker fan for a long time, was a diehard Kobe fan. So this being the destination is it adds on to it. But like I said in the other interview, she's a sports junkie, but most definitely a basketball junkie. So she's just super excited for me and just wants the best for me.
That's awesome, man. Dude, we are so excited to have you on the Purple and Gold. I can't wait to see you, you know, preseason starts this next Sunday, right? So can't wait to see you hooping out there, and we're going against the Nets. So they're the other title favorites. Yep. So can't wait to see that. But man, Austin, appreciate you joining the show and, you know, answering these questions from us and from your fans, from Lakers fans all over the world. But I don't know if you have anything you want to say before we end the pod here.
No, I just appreciate y'all for having me on, and can't wait to see what this year holds. It's going to be a special year, and I mean, I'm going to give it all that I got to help our team be successful.
All right, man. All right, Austin, appreciate you hopping on the show. And that's it. That's it for today's hashtag Laker podcast. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts. Subscribe there and give us a 5-star review. And we'd appreciate all the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at hashtag LakerPod and on Instagram at hashtag Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day. Root for the Lakers. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the jello is jiggling.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.